You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
It's a football. It's a football.
If you don't know football, you shouldn't be with a microphone in your hand.
Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense, the sensible football podcast where we have started looking into self-help books on communication because of things happening around the world of football, primarily in the Premier League. So we welcome once again our corporate communications correspondent, that is Karan from London.
You're just making up new titles for me as we speak.
Got to keep finding a place for you on this podcast. So might as well.
And joining us after a short hiatus, but a full 20 extra points for United since then, it's Vishal.
What's happening, guys?
So, welcome, gentlemen, to the pod. I think, Vishal, you and I recorded the last episode, and since then, obviously, a lot has happened. We're talking about Liverpool's slide, and since then, the slide has become weirder, and more things have happened, and we'll try to make sense of those. But before we head into that, a quick talk about the Premier League top six right now. Primarily from the point of view, Vishal, that nobody seems to be wanting to win this league. Somehow Arsenal's 7-point or 5-point gap that we were talking about in the last episode has been whittled down to 2.
Yep, typically Arsenal again. I think we spoke about how it is up to them to now maintain this lead, but now they've let City back into it. Crystal Palace, for some weird reason, is still hovering in and around the top 4. So it's quite an interesting time where I think if I'm being completely honest, I haven't seen such terrible quality of football from the top English clubs in some time. The last time it was this bad, Leicester were champions. This time there's no Leicester around to you know, take complete massive advantage of the situation. But yeah, it's been terrible quality of football, terrible style of football. Defense has no meaning. So yeah, it's interesting times.
So, and the most interesting part of this table, like you said, obviously, Manchester City now find themselves at second spot with just 2 points off Arsenal, and a surprise, number 3 in Aston Villa. And like you said, Crystal Palace still hanging around there. But the most interesting thing is at the start of the season, if somebody had told you that a Merseyside team is at number 7, game day, game week 15 onwards, I think the reaction would probably have been, whoa, Liverpool have had that bad a start? But just to clarify, that Liverpool currently are at number 10 and it is Everton who sit at number 7. So that's how topsy-turvy everything is. But gentlemen, we are here to talk about, an issue which is slightly larger and a tale which you could say is as old as time. I think all of us are cricket fans, and this is an issue plaguing the Indian cricket team also currently, which is the issue of communication between management and some of their superstar players. This is not a cricket podcast, so we're not going to delve into that except for the fact that to provide some context in terms of separating the sense and sensibility of, the sensationalism of what happened with Mo Salah last week being benched In an absolutely pulsating encounter between Liverpool and Leeds, I think I had called out this encounter to be one of the most exciting potentially when Leeds were in the Premier League in 23. I had called out the Elland Road fixture as something that could be a huge one, but as it were, that season it did not turn out to be as pulsating. But obviously, this weekend's fixture was very, very exciting from a football point of view, but was classic Liverpool slip up. They seem to be cruising 2-0 up at a place like Elland Road, but again, at a place like Elland Road, you do not allow somebody like a Leeds back in. Liverpool had the lead 3-2, and then there were 9 minutes of added time, and well, guess what? In pretty much towards the end of the game, Leeds actually do equalize, and Liverpool giving up 3 goals again, again something we did not think we would be saying, which obviously deepens the crisis for Arne Slot. But further, then Mohamed Salah goes and talks to a Norwegian reporter with an outburst where he talks about being benched for 3 games straight and essentially cries victim. While there might be some nuggets of truth to that, quickly we'll bring you in, gentlemen. We'll begin with Karan. Like I said, our corporate communications correspondent. Karan, from a communications point of view, I mean, and you are somebody who has a very neutral perspective on this because I guess till about 24 hours ago, you did not even know what was going on.
Try
So,
maybe 12 hours ago.
so
Because
given.
this place is getting dark at the 1 o'clock in the afternoon now.
So given that you are Donald Glover entering the room with pizza in that famous scene from Community into this
Community.
crisis,
Yeah.
your take on this situation, because obviously since then a lot more has happened. This seems to be blowing out of proportion. A lot of people are pitching this as, almost end of the world stuff, but I mean, is Jamie Carragher justified in launching potential military strikes against Egypt?
Well, let's face it, Jamie Carragher is not there's nothing new when it comes to Jamie Carragher making some sort of comments related to any African countries. Let's just put it that there are anything related to Africa. But I think yes, to some extent you could say things are getting blown out of proportion, but I do kind of get the sentiment behind it. It is easy to kind of get carried away, especially considering the kind of season that Liverpool have been having. Then these sorts of things always seem to kind of come out when teams are going through bad patches. But when things are going well, regardless of what the relationship is between players or managers or management, they just don't seem to come up. But they always seem to come up when teams are not doing well. But having said that, I think, when it comes to communicate, when it comes to communication towards players from management or vice versa, it's never a great sight when the dirty laundry's kind of been washed in public. It's regardless of what it is. I think for me personally, call it old school, but these sorts of things should be managed behind closed doors and definitely not in the press box.
So this is quite a bit of Jose Mourinhofication of the things of this sort. So Vishal, if you could come in here in terms of looking at the back room, right? And the what has to be fundamentally handled. I mean, this looks like a Brian Clough at Leeds crisis all over again. Except for the fact that rather than a 44-day rain, what we are getting is like a 444-day rain with one league trophy somehow. Is that what it is, or do you think it's probably a singularly Mo Salah problem?
Oh, I'd be completely honest. I don't think Arne Slot was handling the situation wrong or did anything wrong at all. He was managing a football club. At one point in time, he thought a player is not fitting into the system, which made sense to bench the player. And I think we've all said this time and again that no player at any point in time, despite whatever you have achieved for your club, is bigger than the club. And he was benched for 3 games. So I am not understanding what led to such a drastic reaction from Mo Salah. In fact, I partly agree with Jamie Carragher, because what he says is the core of what he's saying is right. Mo Salah has done this over and over again, and he calls out three specific occasions of him doing this, and it's all accurate and not speculative, right? So does the manager have the right to come out and take calls on what teams he feels will do the job best? 100%. And does the player have the right to complain about it? Yes, but he should have gone to the manager first, right? He tried to do what Cristiano Ronaldo did with Piers Morgan. But then again, Cristiano Ronaldo is in a whole stratosphere of his own. And he gets to call these shots and get away with it. But somebody like a Salah, as good as he is, he's not at the same level. So I don't understand. I think if you were to take a step back, I'm fairly disappointed in the overall Liverpool senior player group, especially Salah and Van Dijk. Van Dijk has been terrible on the field, where he's constantly pointing fingers at everybody other than himself. But I think he's been terrible this season. I think he's having a horrible season, but his body language and his conduct on field has been nothing of that of a leader. So between these two players, I think that's really what Liverpool need to take a look at and maybe sit both of them down. And if one has to go and one has to sit down, maybe that might fix it. Because again, you need to understand what Arne Slot did last season was he didn't mess with a successful formula. But this team was bound to evolve. He seems to have spent the right kind of money. I will still say he's got a great set of players. He is now transitioning into what is the right system for this set of players. So, in no circumstance should the players' manager be let go off. He just won this year, the league title. So, give him at least the full season to really see if the team is taking shape and form.
Right. So, and the interesting thing is, of course, like you said, this has become a season which, suddenly has descended into a season from hell. Like I was saying that, you know, there are two Dutch managers who have had a week from hell last week. One of them is obviously Arne Slot. The other one is Peter Elbers, the CEO of Indigo. But while to an extent, what Elbers and his company are suffering through could be largely self-made and something that they have wrought upon themselves. Slot's crisis. So Karan, where does somebody like an Arne Slot head from here? I mean, no matter how big or small a deal this is, it's something that is going to blow over, or it's something that's not going to. It's not really a moral question at this point. I think, no matter what else happens in terms of what fans think about in the club, it's still going to move on. So how does he approach the rest of the season? And that's a question to both of you gentlemen in terms of your perspective on what would you do if you were Arne Slot here?
I mean, this is basically his biggest test so far, because I think everybody is riding on a high last season. Nobody expected them to kind of achieve what they did last season. And basically, he could do no wrong. But now he's kind of, in many ways, you know, been brought back down to reality. And now is where his real managerial acumen will be tested, and how he handles these situations, not just the situation on the field, but on the situation off the field with the current issues with Salah and other issues that might be brewing as well. It's about how he handles it now. And if he's able to handle this, I think he should be able to kind of, be in good stead. I think it's important for him to make it very, very clear that he is the one in charge and nobody else gets to upstage him, because he is the manager. The buck stops with him, both when it comes to on the positive side of it as well as the negative side of it. So I think it is very important that he kind of, I would say it's at times it is required to crack the whip.
Vishal, apart from, yeah, you know, the medieval imagery of cracking the whip, from a technical point of view, what does Slot need to do?
I think both Slot and Liverpool ownership need to really look at this in the larger context, right? If you really take a step back and zoom out, you are actually seeing Liverpool are not playing bad football. Liverpool's player, like they're saying, Wirtz has been a flop. They're saying Isak has been a flop. These guys have played a handful of games. How are you calling any of them a flop, right?
They're still scoring goals. by the bucket
Yeah,
loads.
he's still scoring goals and they're playing good football, right? Their defense is letting them down, and that's
Yeah.
because Konate has been making obvious mistakes, and Van Dijk is just not taking any ownership. And see, I think the only thing he needs to step back and look at is his defense. Is this defense ready to take on the mantle that he's asked them to, right? I would possibly throw back a Robertson into the starting lineup, right? Because he's got experience, he's got calm. He might not have the legs that he used to, but bring back some experience, bring back some championship caliber. It does wonders to the team, right? In fact, I would hand him the captain armband if you really ask me, because I think the man's a great footballer. Again, the rest of the team is doing just fine, right? You need to just be patient with the man. I think he's still the man for the job. I think he's still going to be extremely successful at Liverpool. I think he's got the tools, he's got the players, he's got the acumen. I think just the amount of media and the amount of success that Liverpool have had in the last 10 years allows for this kind of noise and allows for this kind of ramblings. But overall, if you look at it, I think he's doing just fine. Pep Guardiola has terrible seasons. Arteta has terrible seasons. Let's not even talk about Man United and what Amorim are doing. So sometimes you just need to just let the noise be the noise and let the manager do his job, which I'm pretty sure he will do a good job.
Right. So interesting take there from Vishal. And well, you can, for Soccer's listeners, you can always come back to this at the end of the season to see where we are headed with this. But Vishal, absolutely right point in terms of the performances, because Liverpool have been a team that have consistently sort of on most metrics seem okay. On things like expected goals, they seem to be just underperforming, but they seem to be creating the levels of chances. I think a combination of luck and obviously some level of incompetence, like you pointed out, certain errors that should not be happening at this level.
Play on the field, right? We set up the team. The execution is still the team. So how much do you hold a manager accountable for player mistakes? And these are individual mistakes. So,
right. So it would be interesting to see. Beginning, of course, we are recording this before Liverpool take on Inter Milan later tonight in the Champions League. So this episode would have gone out without us knowing what the result is like. But probably that's one tournament that Slot might be looking at as possible shot of redemption in this season, given that the title race is possibly over. But given the state of the Premier League, you never know what else might be transpiring. So quick final word, gentlemen, on all things Premier League. Do you still think Arsenal have the ability to pull away, or it's that fixture congestion which is coming in that could be make or break?
Absolutely. I think fixture congestion is going to have a big, big say on what's going to happen next. Arsenal have lost Gabriel to injury, and it seems to have impacted the way they're performing. City are grinding wins, are pulling out wins from tough situations. And once City get into that mode, it's always tough to stop them. It's because they are a confidence team over and above all the skills and everything else that they have. So if Arsenal don't maintain their calm, this you could see City taking over in no time.
Okay. And Karan, so to fulfill your other duties as the championship correspondent, please give us a quick update as to what's happening in the championship in the depths of the winter in London.
Well, it is, let's just say that my local team, after kind of, after a pretty poor start, seem to turn the corner, and they've turned the corner again. So the other way around. So things have been pretty bleak when it comes to that. But I think it's quite exciting in the sense that, you know, while at the top of the table, you know, you have Stoke City who actually after a few hiccups, they've been able to kind of, you know, steady their pace a little bit. There was a pretty exciting game a couple of weeks back where I believe it was 3-3 or something like that. And I think it's definitely exciting in the sense that there's not much of a points difference between the teams from, I would say, third onwards till about eighth. So yeah, it's quite exciting times actually.
Yeah, it's only about six points or so, which is the difference.
That's about it. And commentary have been basically scoring goals by the dozens. Literally goals by the dozens.
Maybe you should crack the
And funnily enough, the team that is actually placed third is everybody's favorite Peace Prize
Great.
ambassadors. That is Millwall. In fact, the FIFA Peace Prize should have gone to them. Nonetheless, so on that note, we'll of course be bringing you updates from the championship and indeed what happens to the rest of the title race here in the Premier League and with Liverpool and those situations as well. But this is about all the time we have for this episode. This is Tariq signing off along with Karan
See you guys.
and Vishal.
See you guys.
This meeting could have been an email.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right here, right
now. Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.